Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Man, that song, Jesus, We Love You, so simple yet so profound, right? And I want to tell you, if you're a guest here, I want to welcome you. My name is Derek. I have the privilege and honor of leading this incredible church, and I hope that you feel welcome today, because we know it can be a challenge to step into a place, a church that you've never been before, and it's a little overwhelming sometimes. And so I pray that you feel welcome, but more than anything else, I pray that today you come in contact with the living God. Because as a church, you hear me say this a lot, and I'm going to continue to say it as long as I'm your pastor, is we don't gather on a Sunday morning, on a community group night, on a worship night. We don't gather around a pastor. Amen to that? Like, we don't gather around an incredible band, which we have, an incredible band. We don't do that. We gather around the person, the God that came flesh, Jesus himself. And so my prayer is that you would encounter him today in a real way, in a way that you knew something was different. We want to be a simple church. We want to be about Jesus, right? If he said it, I want to know about it. If he did it, I want to do it. That's my heart, and that's my heart for this church. Good news is we have 1 week down in our fast. Anybody excited about that? We're 1 week in, yeah? Sad news is we got 2 more weeks to go, right? We got 2 more weeks. We're not even halfway there. But let me tell you, I have been so encouraged. I've been hearing conversations happening like, how's your fast going? Hey, this temptation, we got a little face here. She's like, oh my goodness, it's the fast, I know. I've heard parents talking to their kids, explaining the fast. I love all of that. And how many people are doing it, it's incredible. And so let me just tell you, I have been so excited that we have gathered together to withhold from some things in order to behold Jesus, right? And so maybe it's your first Sunday, or maybe you've been out for a while. We are in the middle of a corporate fast. And so maybe that's a good thing, you've been out. You're like, thank you, Jesus, that I came today, but I wasn't here last week. That's all right. We love you anyhow. But here's the good news is it's not too late for you to jump into this fast. Like, there's nothing special about 21 days. Man, you could start tomorrow. You could start today, 14 days, 7 days, whatever it is. I want to invite you into this fast where we are hoping to become more aware of God, and as we do that, we'd actually love him more. That's my heart in this. That's why we're doing it. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't started this fast, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to the website. We put together a website, really simple, withholdtobehold.com, and every day we have a devotional on there. We've got some prayer prompts that we would love for you to engage in. This last week, we talked about love a ton, right? Love, 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 love. Monday, we're going to transition to not talk about God's love, but we're going to talk about how he made you. Your identity. That's a buzzword in culture right now, but what does it mean that we have an identity as a follower of Jesus, that he gives us a unique identity, but also a general identity? And so over this week, you're going to see devotionals and prayers that will lead you into a greater understanding of what has God done for you through Jesus, and who has he made you? And so I want to encourage you, keep on going, man. Fight the temptation. Say yes to Jesus. And as you withhold, make sure that you are beholding, that you are seeing God, that you're spending time with him. And I can't wait the end of this when we celebrate with our worship night and counter nights. It's going to be a blown out party as we get ready to eat some food again, right? In Jesus' name, it's going to be good. So that's what we started. And so in connection with this fast, we've been starting a series that's entitled Fuel. And this series, we're looking at, man, what propels us? So when you think about a car, you think about, you know, what you put in, it gets you energy to go from one place to another. And the way we started out last week was, in 2019, you are going someplace. You are going somewhere. The question is, what is going to be the fuel that actually propels you to where you're going in 2019? And so what I put before you is this thought: what if the fuel that we have is love? Like, what if that is what actually drives us and propels us forward in 2019? I say that because that's what I see in the life of Jesus, that he was fueled by love. Everything he said, everything he did, everything he thought was saturated in love. And so last week we talked about this idea that for us to love others in 2019, we first have to what? Be loved. And we talked about this simple little phrase, rest and receive. Fall in love with me, right? That we got to rest in the fact that God loves us. You can't change that. I can't change it. And then it's our job to actually receive his love, to allow him to pour it upon us, and for us to operate in that kind of truth, that we are loved. But after that, we're going to continue on, right? And so today we're going to take another step. So I'd love for you to turn in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 is our anchor verse for this series. And as you turn there, I want to share one other verse That's actually in Matthew 5, 17. So as you turn to Matthew 22, I want you to look up here on the screen. These are words from Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, one of his most prolific and profound messages that he ever gave while he walked this earth. And this is what Jesus said. So this is his words. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So this is really important. If you have your Bible, I want you to remember law and the prophets. And then Jesus said he wanted to fulfill them. Can we all say fulfill? Fulfill. Fulfill means to bring to pass, to actually complete what was there. And so he said the laws and the prophets, all these things that are there to that express the heart of God, Jesus came to actually make that come true, to actually fulfill all that. So now remember law and prophet. Now if we look at Matthew 22, what we see is that a man comes up to Jesus. He's a lawyer. He's a teacher of the law. And he comes up to Jesus and says, "What is the greatest commandment?" Which is a great question. And Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now look at verse 40. This is important. Remember, law and the prophet, Jesus came to fulfill them. Verse 40 says, "On these two commandments, love God, love others, depends all of the what? The law and the prophets." Interesting. Same thing Jesus said that he came to fulfill. We see here that he says the two commandments, the two great commandments are this: love God and love others. And on these two commandments, all of the laws and the prophets, they hang. Don't you love Jesus for his Cliff Notes version of the Old Testament? Like, don't you love that? Like, if he was your teacher, you're like, you got a textbook, Jesus, like, "Hey, 2 points that I just need to get out of this textbook." Like, literally, like, we can't miss out that all of God's laws, all of the prophets, they pointed to these two truths: love God and love others as you love yourself. And what we see in Jesus, he says in Matthew 5, 17, that he came to fulfill what? The law and the prophets. And so here's what we see in Jesus, that Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of love. We got to see this. Like, this is important to connect the dots here, that Jesus came to fulfill the law, and therefore he fulfilled the two greatest commandments: love God and love others. Therefore, if we want to know how in the world do we bite by bite, eat this elephant to how to love God, we look at Jesus, because he perfectly fulfilled the law and the prophets. He perfectly fulfilled loving the Father and loving others as he loved himself. This is what Jesus did. I was talking to one of my mentors this week, and I was telling him what we're doing and the study that we're doing, the fast that we're doing, and I would say, "Hey, we're doing this five," and I said the word five, series, five, and he said, "5-year series?" I said, "No, 5 weeks." He's like, "Wow, you're gonna talk 5 weeks and unpack all of God's love." I said, "Yeah, I know, tall order. I know it's challenging, but he knows my heart, because we gotta remember, when we preach here, when anybody preaches, when I do, or whoever's up here, we do not view a sermon as the end of a conversation here, okay? We don't think we can put a bow on it and unpack everything that there is to know about the scriptures that we open. I mean, we're not that arrogant, right? My hope is in a message, in today's message specifically, and every time that I teach and anybody else, that a sermon on a Sunday morning is really the beginning of a conversation. A conversation where you begin to unpack truth, where you wrestle with the truths in the scripture, and then you go to God and you begin to talk to him. You go to your fringe groups and you say, "Man, what does this look like to you? What does it look like to apply this?" And so let me just tell you off the bat, we're going to look at how to love God today, but there's no way that we can unpack every way to do that. We've got literally about 17 more minutes for me to unpack it. And some of you are like, "Okay, I'm putting you on the clock, Derek." I know. It's all right, man. You know, the buffet is going to wait for you. Although you're in a fast, so you're probably not going to eat a buffet today, but we'll see about that. But I cannot unpack it all today. And so here I'm going to try to do is just give you some truth, something that we can digest a little bit today, with the hope that when we go and we spend time with Jesus this week, that you would unpack it, you would ask him questions, and he would continue to show us how to love the Father, because that's the first one. The first one is loving God. Okay, I got to receive that love of God. But then Jesus has this bold proclamation of, now you're called to love God. And so this is where I want to go today. And so the first thing that we need to know is that loving God begins with enjoying God, okay? Now, if you've been in the church background very long, depending on your background, this probably sounds a little foreign, but I do believe that this is the basis for us to actually fulfill the great commandment, which is to love God, is that we first have to enjoy God. And as I was thinking about this week and studying, I was drawn back to my relationship with my bride, my wife. We're going to be celebrating 15 years this summer of marriage, and I was thinking back to when we first met, and I don't even need to tell you what college we were at when we met, but we met at an incredible college. And Tennessee. Oh. Better than Tennessee. I know I said it. No. So we met in college. We met at a Subway, and just had a mutual friend that connected us. And then we started talking and going to the cafeteria together, you know, just like college love right there, because we're too poor. Our parents paid for the cafeteria already. Didn't pay for dinner out, but we started just hanging out. And what I began to do is I began to enjoy this girl named Kate a whole lot. I enjoyed her sense of humor. I enjoyed the way she interacted with other people. I enjoyed the way she looked a whole lot. I did enjoy that. And this enjoyment led me to these feelings that I had never had before in my life, these feelings of what I know now is love. I love this girl, but I never verbalized that to her up until this point. And so I'm headed to a spring break in Florida, not that kind of spring break. It was actually a mission trip in Florida. And so I'm getting ready to leave her for an extended amount of time for the first time after we started dating. And so, you know, we have a date night in her dorm. We watch a movie and all that good stuff. And then I leave, you know, say that long goodbye. And I'm headed to leave her for a little while. And at that point, like a day is a long time. Remember that time when a day was a long time? You're like, give me some space. 3 days? Come on, no. I was going to leave her for a week, and I'm like, man, that's crazy, and I'm not feeling that, but I left, and I remember getting in my Ford Probe GT. It was an incredible car. It was incredible. Yeah, incredible. Yeah, that's, why would you ever name a car that, by the way? I don't know, but anyhow, that's another sermon. So I get in my car, and I drive away from her dorm, and as I'm driving away, man, I'm overwhelmed by this sense of, oh, man, I can't leave this woman. Like, I got to go back and I got to tell her something. And so, like, so much so that I take my Ford Probe GT, which, by the way, I say is blue. She says it's purple. Never believe her. It was blue. Every man in here knows what I'm talking about. It was a blue Ford Probe GT. Even if it was a probe, it's all right. Anyhow, I don't know why I'm talking about my car so much. Anyhow, it's important. So I pull in this little alley. I back in and I head back over to her Blackburn dormitory, and I pull in the loading dock and I get out my phone. Now, this is before smartphone. This is a phone that only called people. Remember that day? And I grab my phone and I call her and I say, hey, can you meet me down in the loading dock? I want to tell you something. She's like, yeah. Sure, I'll come down. And so she makes her way. It's kind of raining out, and I'm pulled in there, and she opens up the door of my Ford Probe GT, which, by the way, was missing a door panel. It was so awesome. So cool. And she gets in there, and she's sitting there, and I said, I just couldn't leave you for a week without telling you something. And I said, for the first time, first of many times, I said, I just wanted you to know I love you. And she said, man, I love, well, she probably didn't say man, that would be kind of weird. She said, you're my man, I love you too. I love you too. And it was an awesome moment, one that we'll never forget, sitting in that little car and telling her that I love you. But don't you know that my love for her did not just pop into my head in that moment. Like, we had spent time together, there were memories together, there was dwelling in the same area together. I had enjoyed her for a season before I ever got to the point where I could say, I love you, out loud, verbalize it. And every guy in the room, you know that's a big deal when you say, I love you to a girl. Like, that's a big, big deal. And I hadn't done that lightly. Like, I had been with this girl, I knew her, I had enjoyed her, and out of that came my love. So I loved her, and that's where I enjoyed her, that's where my love began. And I think it's the same for God. That if we're going to really fulfill this great commandment, which is to love God, it begins with actually enjoying God. And we see one of the prolific writers, a guy who I like to talk about, and I think we're actually going to do a series about him later this year, but David, he was a guy after God's own heart. He loved God so much. And I want you to see in Psalm 37 what he writes here. It's really neat. It really shows us what it looks like to enjoy God. So in Psalm 37, it's a great whole chapter if you want to read it, but here's a couple verses here. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. There it is. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that an incredible promise? Commit your ways to the Lord and trust him, and he will act. You see, David loved God, man. He didn't get it perfect all the time, man. He messed up. He jacked it up sometimes. But at the end of the day, he loved God. And I think where he loved God, where that began, is because he learned from an early age to enjoy God, right? And I would ask you, listen, when is the last time you actually enjoyed God? And I would love you this week to even write that question down and said, how do you enjoy God? Like, how do you express your enjoyment to God? Because I think what many of us do is we get in this rut of saying, man, I got to go to church. Man, I feel like condemnation. I got to get my butt in church. I got to get that seat. I got to open my Bible up at least once a week. I got to pray. I know I'm supposed to do that. And so we get in this grind mentality, and yet we're called to this love of God, and it feels so forced. Yeah, but I see in the scriptures is that it begins with this enjoyment of God that leads us to many other things with God. And this is what I see in Jesus, right? He didn't just say, man, I got to go pray all night long. Oh, somebody, come on, give me some ibuprofen. No, he said, I'm going to go be with my Father. I'm going to take my challenges. I'm going to take the good days, and I'm going to take that to my Father. Jesus knew how to enjoy the Father, and he drew closer to him because of it. And I was thinking, like, what if, like, in my car, I would have been driving away, and like, oh, that's right, I need to tell Kate something. I roll in there, she comes out, and I says, listen, my Father has told me that I need to tell you that I love you. Probably not going to go over so well. Or what if I said, hey, it is my obligation as the man that you are dating to express my innermost feelings to you. I love you. Probably not going to be my girlfriend very long, right? We know that. Let love really does begin with enjoying somebody else. And I want to invite you into this thing that God is not just a God where you got to bow to and you got to do all the things. Yes, that's part of it, but those things are never done to please him. They're done because he pleases you. We're called to enjoy God first, and that's the foundation of this whole idea of loving God is enjoying him. Now, Jesus gives some clarity in this, and I want to unpack this because he says this is the greatest commandment, love God, and he says some things with it. He says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so if we're following Jesus, if we're trying to follow Jesus, we're trying to learn from him and be like him, we should really understand what does this mean? Like, what is it? If this is the like culmination of Jesus' teaching, he says right here, this is what he came to fulfill, we should know what he means. And so I want to break down each one of these. So what in the world does he mean when he says love God with all your heart? He doesn't mean like your beating physical heart, like that heart that was dying at the YMCA yesterday when I was doing cardio. Not that heart. He's talking about our will, our desire, our affections, and our passions. This is what he's talking about, that this type of inner man, we're called to love God with that. What's he mean when he says soul? That sounds kind of weird. Like, can you see your soul? Like, what is that? Well, this is what he means when soul. He's talking about your being, who you are, your talents, your attitude, your identity. And I read a commentary that even said it's what makes you alive. It's your aliveness that you're actually called to love God with. I think that's a beautiful way to put it, your aliveness. I've never heard that before. Your soul. And then he says your mind. And I love this about God, that he didn't say, hey, check your mind at the gate when you come into church. He actually says, I want to engage your intellect. I want to engage your understanding, and I want you to love me through it, right? It's a beautiful picture. Now, there's one more that we don't see in Matthew, but we see in the Mark's gospel, and we see in Deuteronomy 6, that we're not only called to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, but there's another word that's the strength or might. Now, this doesn't mean getting swole for Jesus. Like, that's not what that means. It's not talking about your physical strength. It's talking about everything that you have, your influence. What do you have at your disposal, like your finances, your relationships, your position at your work, your position in this community? What does it look like to take all of that you have at your disposal, even your marriage, what would that look like to love God with that? This is what he's talking about when Jesus says this is the greatest commandment that he's inviting us to. And what I see in this commandment is this incredible teaching that if you look at all four of those, really what Jesus is saying is that he's calling us to love God with everything that we are. Like, there's not meant to be a siloed piece to say, you know, I love God here, but over here, not so much. No, he says everything. You mean my thought life? Yeah, love God with your thought life. You mean my home? Yeah, you can love God with your home and how you handle it, right? This is what Jesus is calling us to. Now, let me just give you a little piece in the room is none of us can fulfill the law like Jesus did, okay? That's why we have a Savior, by the way. Like, none of us in this room are fully loving God with all of our heart, soul, or mind. Because when we think that we arrive there, God's like, hey, yeah, what about this area, Derek, what about this, right? But just because we can't completely live up to this standard doesn't mean that we should aspire, that we should not aspire to it. We should, because we follow Jesus and we want to be like him in every way. Amen? Right? And so we see Jesus, this is what he did. He fulfilled this law. And what I see in it is he is calling us to something. He's calling us to express love through trust. And I think love actually is made known through trust. And you say, what do you mean? Let me give you a real simple example. I'm talking about my wife, you know. I'm acting like she's here, by the way. She was here the first two services. She's up in a meeting right now. It's kind of weird that I'm looking at this chair, my wife, and you're like, where is she? She's not here. But when I was dating her and I got to the place where like, man, I want to be with this woman forever. I want to enjoy this woman forever. I flew down to Texas and surprised her and got down on my knee and asked her to marry me. A few months later, I put a ring on her finger and said, I do. I will be with you through sickness and in health, through richer and poor, through the good and the bad. And what was I doing in that moment? I was expressing my love through trust, because I don't know what that woman's going to be in 20 years. Some of you are like, yeah, I know. That's marriage. That's an expression of love. You are jumping off a cliff and saying, I'm going to be with this person forever, regardless of what they're like. This is what a marriage is. This is what a covenant is. And this is what it looks like for God to love us. It's that type of covenant. And this, I believe, is the type of love that we're called to give God. Because loving God means trusting God. And we see this in the life of Jesus, and we see it in his teaching. And so the rest of today, I want to just break this down. What does it look like to trust God? Now, we see this in Jesus perfectly. And you think about Jesus and all the different ways that he trusted God. In Philippians, I see an incredible passage that we see Paul writing from a jail cell to the church in Philippi about this Jesus that he's calling them to align with and follow. And so in Philippians chapter 2, we see Paul write this snapshot into Jesus. He says, have this mind among yourself. So we could take that as he's telling us, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. And listen to this line. This is crazy. Man, we read this and we're like, okay, no, look at this. Jesus humbled himself by what? By becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So what we see is the life of Jesus came to fulfill the law. What was the law? To love God and love others. And so this act of obedience was actually an expression to God of Jesus' trust, which really shows his love, right? Are you guys tracking with me? That he showed his love through obedience. Time and time again, this is what we see in the life of Jesus. He obeyed the Father. Even towards the end of his life, when he knew that the cross was on the other side of the moon, he knew that the next day he'd wake up and he would die. He's in the garden and he's crying out to the Father. And he says, God, Father, not my will, but your will be done, right? What is that an expression of? It's an expression of love, because Jesus is expressing trust. I obey you. And what is Jesus saying at the very core? He's saying yes to the Father. And I would say, how in the world do we show God love? Which we should be asking that question. And this week, you should be unpacking all of this. What's it look like for you to love God? The first commandment, the greatest commandment. What's it look like? I would say showing God love is giving him our yes. And you say our yes in what? Yes in our heart. Our yes with our soul. Our yes with our mind. A yes with our strength. All that we have. And this is what we see in the life of Jesus. He always said yes to the Father. He was led by the Father. And this is actually what Jesus taught. Now, this isn't super popular to teach this. And so I want you to hang with me a little bit, because it leads to life. Everything that Jesus said leads us to life if we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Look what Jesus said in Luke or John chapter 14, verse 20 and 21. Jesus says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And listen to what he said in verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Who loves God? Those that keep his, what? Commandments. And he says, he who loves me, I will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I want you to hear me today, and as much love as I can give you, is that God's love has never changed for you. It cannot change in 2019. No matter if you do everything right or you do everything wrong, he loves you. But I'm going to tell you, in 2019, you have many opportunities to say yes or no to God. That you have many opportunities to say, God, I love you, or God, hey, not right now. Many opportunities. Even in the midst of that, it doesn't change how he thinks of you. But this first commandment is a choice that you and I make 1,000 different ways, 1,000 different times a day. Am I going to trust God and express my love to him through obedience, right? Am I going to say yes to God? Now, as you're thinking about this yes, I was thinking about what it requires to have a yes, and it's two things. These are the last two things I want you to write down in your notes. That a yes requires two things. First, it requires an awareness of what's being asked. See, Jesus, he lived a yes to the Father. He always said yes, whatever God was telling him, right? Jesus said these crazy things. He said, I only say what the Father's saying. What does that require? An ear to hear what God is saying, awareness. He said, I only do what the Father is doing. What's that require? An eye to see perception of what the Father's doing. See, Jesus walked a lifestyle of awareness of God. And as we have awareness of God, then we have a choice. Am I going to align with him, or am I going to continue the way of Derek or your way? Right? We have this choice all the time. And I would say the scriptures tell us really clearly that we are loved. We can't change that. But for us to love God, it means that we're aware of the Spirit of God. We're aware of the Word of God leading our lives. And as we are come aware, we begin to say yes to him little by little. And we begin to actually align our lives with his. This is what I think I see Jesus teach in the scriptures. And this is what he calls us to. And what I love about Jesus, whenever he teaches these even kind of hard truths to say, this is what it looks like to love God, Jesus doesn't teach from a platform to say, hey, you guys do it. He says, no, this is the life I lived. And as my followers, I want you to live like I lived. And so as we close today, I want you to even consider, what does it look like, even this week, for you to love God by trusting whatever he's asking you to do? Like, what does it look like for you to say yes to God? Maybe your yes to God is, I'm not going to go to that website. Maybe your yes to God is you're at Panera, you're at Starbucks, and you go pay for somebody's lunch. Maybe your yes is as simple as, man, God's prompting you to go talk to somebody at your work that you never would normally talk to. I'm telling you, there's a million ways that we can love God if we would just have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to join him. Today we're going to close with a song that's entitled Spirit Lead Me, which really just continues to flow into this thought of what it looks like to love God by being led by his Spirit, just as Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. We're called to be led too. And the good things and the hard things, we're called to say yes to God. In doing so, we actually love him. We fulfill the greatest commandment. So as we sing this song, I'm going to invite you to stand right now and join us as we sing it. And I've been praying all week that as we're singing this song, there would be things that you recognize. Oh, wait, that's God. God's been asking me to align with him. He's been inviting me to give up something, to say yes to him in a certain way. And my prayer is that today would be a day where you say, you know what, I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I want to align with him. So enjoy this song as we sing this truth over our body.